God, he's the God of all. Amen. We got two young girls here tonight, Katie and Skylin. It's always a blessing to hear them sing. We'd like to ask them if they would this time. They'll come up here and sing what the Lord's put on their heart tonight. Get these mics set for you here. You want to stand over here? Just sit right there once before you can reach out. Is that good?
Okay. I'm pressing low, I'm pressing on the upward way. New hearts I'm getting every day. Still praying as my onward bound. Lord, put my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up to let me stand. By faith on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found. Lord, lift my feet, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay, for doubts are raised and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where they so far, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher way than I have found. Lord, put my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. Whose faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me sing.
Amen.
By faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the most high and catch a glimpse of glory bright, but still I pray, still heaven I found. Lord, place me on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, lift me. We'll plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen.
Woken in sunlight, all of my journey over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee.
Amen.
Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never concealed my Savior in God. He is the light in heaven, no darkness ever I'm walking. Close is my heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine in the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises. While I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing His praises. Jesus is mine.
Amen.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels check on me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My Savior, pardon me from guilt and shame I know. I'll trust His saving grace while traveling here below. I know He'll welcome me at heaven's open door.
Amen.
And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a precious mother up in glory land. I don't expect a soul until I get for Him. For me, she's waiting now at heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The safe and glory land are shouts in victory. I want to join their band and live eternally. I hear the sweetest praise from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer here real quick. Father, we thank you to be able to be gathered in your house tonight. And Lord, we just want to pray and ask, Father, you bless our efforts tonight. Lord, I desire more than anything to anoint me from on high. Lord, I've already stirred in my heart about that which you'd have to be preached tonight. I'm asking, Lord, bold as I can, Lord, you would help me tonight to deliver this message. I pray you'd move upon your words, move upon our hearts. Lord, challenge us, I pray, from the Word of God. May we see ourselves in the mirror of God. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight that we would do that, Lord, which you bid us to do. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's get our Bibles tonight. Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. This is not an easy message tonight. I do desire your prayers tonight. You can whisper prayer under your breath. Be all right with me. This is more in the category of reprove, rebuke, and exhort, I guess you could say. But Romans chapter number 7, Paul here, writing the church in Rome. We'll start reading in verse number 7, read quite a few verses here. He says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of conspicuous." I can't say that word. Conspicuous. That's the best I can do with it. "Without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that..." Hold on a minute there. "Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin..." Our text verse here tonight. "But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. That do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Thank you, Brother James. I want to try to preach tonight, and I did say try to preach tonight. Because I've got more message tonight than I've got messenger tonight. I want to try to preach tonight on losing sight of sin. The text we just read here, one of the greatest Christians, Paul, is here in this text making a comment. And in this, it's him, a man, battling sin. And in the battle of sin, it's a losing battle. In And the reason it's losing battles because no man can handle sin. Only one could handle sin, and that was Jesus. He conquered it. And anyone apart from Jesus is fighting a losing battle. The Bible said in the book of James that sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. James chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death. I mean, thank you, Brother James. It's a losing battle. Let me say tonight that sin kills more people than guns. Sin kills more people than DUIs. Sin kills more people than cigarettes and drugs and cancer and lightning, shark attacks, bear attacks, you name it. Sin kills more people than all of those combined. Now with that in mind, I'm just kind of getting our thoughts tonight where they need to be. Our president, I said our president because he is the president of this United States, he said he's evolving on how he feels about the homosexual lifestyle. By the way, he's not alone. From the pulpit of churches today, and even churches themselves, are embracing this subject matter of sin and trying to somehow make exceptions, trying to somehow evolve on how they feel about this subject of sin. Sin is so serious, when you take a look at what sin did to Jesus, you see that it's severe in its consequences. The Bible said His vestment was marred more than any man. And I'll tell you what He took on Himself, the sins of the whole world. But I'll tell you what sin, the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. The devil lived it. When we started laughing about sin, started making jokes about sin. Sin coming in your life, sin coming in your home will make shipwreck of your faith. I don't care how steadfast, how serious, how straight your steps are, sin will mar that. Sin, it'll creep in a small increment and end up being like leaven. It'll leaven the whole lot. Sin will do that. Our president says he's evolving on how he feels about homosexuality. Well, I'll tell you right now, our president doesn't represent me when he says that. God's not involved in how he feels about sin. The Bible said don't give no place to sin. It says flee youthful lust. It said abstain from sin. Don't give no place to the devil. I'm telling you what, we've been playing around in this subject matter of sin. We've lost our blush. We've let down our guard. We tell sin, it's okay, come on in, tickle my ear a little bit. But I'll tell you what, when they started laughing about sin, started making jokes about sin, we started looking at sin a little bit different. The Bible said, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes be not burned? I'm telling you what, not only are there consequences to sin, but I'll tell you what, they're severe, they're deadly consequences when it comes to sin. So what do we do about this subject sin? Well, we write the books. We write the laws. We make some kind of accommodation somehow so we won't offend no one. Somehow we can tolerate this subject of sin. There ain't no one that can escape this sin thing. I'm telling you, it's taking its toll. There's someone right now in a hospital gasping for breath because sin has done its work. There's someone right now probably they're loading them in an ambulance somewhere because sin is taking its toll. There's someone right now driving too fast, drinking too much, thinking, hey, I can handle sin. Sin is going to make a fool out of them. Right. You ever go out to a tombstone out there and read some of them things on the tombstone right there? Man, I tell you what, some of the things are monumental about people who have left behind testimonies that pertain to this subject matter of sin. Katie, don't care whether you're young, honey. They don't care whether you're old. I'll tell you right now, it's just like God. I'll tell you what's not no respecter of person. And sin, I'll tell you what, leave a mark on you. Sin somehow or another Satan somehow or another wants to mar you. That people look upon you and they see the effects of sin. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 1, woe unto the rebellious children that add sin to sin. And I'll tell you what, buddy, rebellion is one of the things that sin looks for. I mean, rebellion. If someone would say, it's my life and I'll do what I want to. Well, sin loves that. Sin loves when someone says, don't tell me what to do. It loves that. Yes, sin will be your companion. It'll be a companion of fools. Sin looks for an opportunity to have an advantage to somehow get in your life and bring up the fruits of sin. It's a bitter fruit.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, today the pulpits have got cold concerning this matter of sin. Brother Vernon, coon hunter, my father was a coon hunter. Be out there and let them dogs run. My dad used to say he's on a cold trail. That's where the pulpits are today. They're not fired up like it used to be about sin. It's kind of cold today. I mean, they might mention it, but not in the context of what it is. Not talk about how lethal it is. Not talk about how deadly it is. But somehow or another, just mention it lightly a little bit. I tell you, boy, sin hadn't changed. Sin's still taking toll. Sin still, I'll tell you what, buddy, like James said, when it's finished, brings forth death. Sin. You'd think we wouldn't give no place to it. You'd think we'd run from it. I don't know why in the world we'd run to it. But I found out, buddy, we can't get our fill of sin. Amen. I go out Walmart and I look to see the effects of sin.
Right.
I see it in people's appearance. I see it in attitude. I see it in their demeanor. I see how they conduct themselves. They don't pull their pants up. They want to show off their decals. They want to show off their piercing. I work with young girls out there at work and they want me to know their tongue's pierced. They want me to know that they've got a tattoo. I couldn't believe this last week. Some girl pulled her shirt up or something and show her tattoo on her back, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, we've come a long way. No shame. No hide. You know, people used to try to hide their sin.
Right.
Yeah, preachers had to go and try to root it out, try to get it to the surface. Now they don't care. They flaunt it. Now, I'll tell you what, buddy, and I'm not kidding you about the pulpits getting cold. I'm not kidding you about that. I'll tell you, buddy, we need to thunder out. God said, come, spur up and tell my people there's sin, amen. I'm telling you, sin, it'll separate you from fellowship with God. God's a pure eyes and look upon sin.
Right.
Oh, listen. How do we handle this subject, sin? I'll tell you what we do today. We change the names of sin today so it won't offend, and so we can somehow give place to sin. We call sin by another name. Instead of adultery, we call it an affair. You know, it sounds a little bit less offensive. You know, they had an affair. Instead of a homosexual, queer lifestyle, we say they're having an alternative lifestyle. I filled out a job application one time. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I'm filling out a job application. And on that job application, it said, are you married or do you have a significant other? Oh, as big as that little space was in there, I put the biggest M-A-R-I-A-D in that little space. He said, see if I can get this right. Which best describes you, male or female? And let me see, that ain't right. It said, I can't remember how it was. It said, do you have a gender identity problem or something like that? Or which best describes you, male or female or in between or something like that? I don't know how in the world it could be any different than that. But I read this morning about a woman that wanted to become a man. It's kind of far-fetched. I'll just tell you lightly what I read. After they went through all the treatments, after they went through all the procedure to try to make this woman, Nancy, into a man, I don't know what you want to call it after that, but it was so disappointing that Nancy, which became Nathan or Nate or something like that, Molly, he didn't want to live. It wasn't up to his expectation. He wanted to be euthanized. Sometimes you're better off just leave things the way they are.
Amen.
I mean, I'll tell you right now, God created us, and He made men upright, but they sought out many inventions and doctors. They don't care for enough money. They'll make you anything. You want to be a monkey, they'll make you one. If you want to evolve, they'll make you somehow. You can get in that evolution thought. They'll make you look like something from another world. Some of this Botox and all that bunch of junk. I'll be honest with you, I just want to be what I am. And I'll tell you what, like Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. But they want to live an alternative lifestyle. And don't speak against it. We got laws there. It's hate speech. It's tolerance. One sided, but it's tolerance.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Amen. Instead of murder, we call it an abortion.
Yeah.
I remember a day I was driving this little girl on this poster. She said, "Thank you, Mama, for not aborting me." People that's for abortion ought to think about the fact they could have been aborted. You know, it's amazing. We got such an opinion about abortion. You know, somehow they were born. If they're so strong about abortion, why wouldn't they abort it? Why don't they just go ahead and abort themselves? They don't think people ought to be born in this world. Why don't they just go ahead and euthanize themselves and give more room for others that feel like you ought to live the life that God wants you to live. Life may be complicated, but it's a whole lot more simpler when you live it with Jesus. Amen. Things make sense anyway. But people frustrate the grace of God. People make a mess of the life that God wanted them to live. And I'll tell you what, the same God said He gave Jezebel space to repent, gave them space to repent. And I wish they'd quit arguing with God and start listening to God and find out, buddy, He wants to bless them and help them. I'm telling you, buddy, people are living lives that are contrary to God, and they don't even want to live the life they say they want to live.
Amen.
Brother Alvis, some of them don't make it too far. That young man, or whatever you want to call it, that it was an ancient, ended up being a Nathan, was 30 years old, and so I didn't want to live no more. And it's legal, I reckon, to euthanize yourself. I reckon that's legal. But we call it a different name now. And somehow or another it tones it down. It's not as severe. It doesn't seem like it bothers nobody. But you know, when it comes to preaching, I believe today, buddy, we need to fire the pulpit. I believe we need to warn people. Isaiah 56 verse 10, God said about some preachers, said there's dumb dogs that wouldn't bark. But we change laws today to accommodate our sins. And today there's no judgment concerning sin. There will be a judgment concerning sin. I mean, God will judge. But today, they slap them on the head and turn them loose. And the first thing they do is the same thing they did before.
Right.
Somebody said, why they do that? I'll tell you why they do it. The Bible said, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And there's no fear of God today. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And there's no fear of man before their eyes. There's no laws against what they're doing. As a matter of fact, there are laws condoning what they do. And they're making monsters down here that are going around and, I tell you what, doing all manner of evil. And no one is even stopping them. Amen.
Right.
That's encouraging us to accept it. They say they got a mental problem, but Lord, they say something about their upbringing. Well, there might be some truth to that. The Bible does say, train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old and not depart. The Bible does say a child left its own to bring its mother's shame, so there might be some truth to that. But it's not all the problem. I'll tell you what the real problem is. They just don't fear God, and they don't fear anything, and one day, buddy, going to stand before God, and all the world's going to stand before God, and they're all going to be guilty, and they're all going to be judged, and they're going to say, why didn't somebody tell me?
Amen.
I'll tell you right now, the Bible said judgment's going to begin at the house of God, and rightly so. If anybody ought to know better, do some things the church ought to know better.
Amen.
But it says, and if judgment begin at us, where shall the end be? The ungodly and the sinner, amen. But we want to somehow accommodate our sin problem. Then the Bible says that God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil, Ecclesiastes 12:14. And you will get your day in court. Revelation 20:11-15 said he saw a great white throne and him is set upon it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there's found no place for them. I saw the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and they were judged. Death and hell gave up those which were in it, and the sea gave up those which were in it. That means Osama bin Laden's coming up, and they were judged. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's coming, beloved. I'm telling you today, sin will take its toll. Amen.
Amen.
But don't wake us up, preacher. Paul said, awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. I believe the churches today, I believe the pulpit ought to be on fire today about a matter of sin. I hope in this revival, I hope the preacher preaches against sin. I hope, praise God, lift up his voice like a trumpet cry loud, spare not, amen. Today, we've lost sight of sin. I know some people that can't see very well. They can't help it. But we can see. There ain't nothing wrong with our sight. But there's something wrong with the way we see sin. We don't see sin as serious as it is. We somehow look over sin. We somehow think that sin is not as bad as it used to be. We somehow think that sin will be all right. Somebody pray here with Anthony up here. I'll tell you right now, ain't no cakewalk living for God. And the Bible said that there are many adversaries. There are all kind of obstacles. It's discouraging. It's not always easy to do that which is right. I'll tell you right now, the Bible said all that live godly in Christ Jesus will have troubles and tribulation. But I'm telling you, buddy, I'm telling you, Dad, all we're living in, the biggest problem is sin, amen. And sin is making the church and the work, amen, that people are trying to do for God, amen.
Brought into an altar tonight, Lord.
The Bible says, all have sinned. There's not any that had sinned. The Bible says, all are guilty. There's not none that's innocent. The Bible says that all will be judged. Amen. Adam and Eve, they didn't confess their sin. Adam said, that woman gave to me, and I did eat. That woman said, that serpent gave to me, and I did eat. I'm telling you, the Bible says to confess your sin and come out of your sin. And God said, I receive you. I forgive you. Amen. But we said, and look at sin and say, I'm not moving. Amen.
After that higher plane, Lord, to be able to find that place with you and
Cain,
your very
didn't confess his sin. He said, am I my brother's keeper? God asked him where his brother was. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? I'll tell you what, buddy. The problem today, we got too much of that kind of spirit. We see others sin. We got too much of that kind of spirit. They're apparently, we want to blame someone else for our sin. I'll tell you right now, I believe the table will stand on its own legs. The Bible said Nineveh repented of its sins and 120,000 souls were spared. Jonah 4:11. I'm telling you today, from the church house to the White House, to my house, and to your house, we got a problem today with sin. And anytime you lightly esteem sin, sin has an advantage. Anytime you give place to sin, you might as well turn a bunch of rattlesnakes loose in your house. You might as well pull a pin out of a hand grenade and let it go. Because I'm telling you, sin, it's not going to go lightly with sin. Sin, I wish I could put it in some kind of context that we would beware of sin. But for some reason or another, we've come down a day and age that somehow sin's lost its effect of how we feel about it. And I'll tell you right now, you go somewhere and try to hear some preacher preach against sin. You go somewhere and try to hear a message talking about sin. You'll find out, buddy, ain't much about it. Somehow or another, they want you to feel good. Somehow they want to say, you're not that bad. Well, the Bible said you are. They'll say, well, you know, that's no problem. Well, the Bible says it is.
Yeah.
We got a problem with sin today.
Yeah.
Our problem's so big, Only no one that can bail us out.
Amen.
That's Jesus, Molly.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, He said if we'd come to Him, even in our sin, He said He'd forgive us and cleanse us from our sin. He said if we'd confess our sin, He'd save us from sin. But I'm telling you, if you're going to live in sin, you're going to pay the price of sin. It'll be a bitter pill. And the Bible said it's the last. It'll sting like an adder. It'll bite like a serpent. I'm telling you, in the end, it'll be a bitter end.
Amen.
Yeah. America used to stand for right. America used to be firm in its stand about living righteous, godly, and sober in this present world. But now, buddy, we're stripping all that.
Right.
Now it's separation of church and state. Now it's make the law and change the law so somehow we can have our affair with sin.
Yeah.
Go check a cemetery. Check those fresh graves out. Go check the hospital. And go down through those halls of the hospital. And go see the effects of sin. Go see about the toll. You know, they try to hush it. They try to silence it. But it still cries out. And the cry of sin is abstain. Flee. Don't let sin run its course. I'm telling you, buddy. I saw sin make a full circle, Emmeline. I saw it take a young man, and you looked at him, you thought he's 90 years old. I saw it take a young girl with meth, and you would have thought she's 90 years old. I mean, sin, it just mars lives. Sin messes up lives. And people, when they get over their head and sin, then they see how awful sin is.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, the devil says, you know, you can handle it. You're different. You know, you're not like those others. You're going to make it. You can do it. You can hold your liquor. You can smoke your dope. You can have your affairs. You can do it. You're different. You're exceptional. That's the kind of fool the devil looks for in the matter of sin. I'll tell you who's smart when it comes to sin. They don't let sin have any place in them. They won't let sin make a mark on them. They won't let sin lay any claim to them. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, they run from it. And I'll tell you what, they put the armor on and they wore a good warfare. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't, sin lies at the door. God said, Cain, sin lies at the door, buddy. Don't enter the door. Don't open the door. Don't let sin in. Amen.
All right.
Amen. People that let sin in may laugh for a little while. May drink for a little while. The Bible said there is pleasure in sin for a season. But when the laughter stops, when sin, I used to fish a lot. Was fishing for muskie one time down the creek bank. One hit my line, Brother Vernon. I went to grab the pole and Daddy said, wait a minute, son, wait a minute. Let him go a little bit. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. Handle that reel turn. It turned. They said, hold it. Wait a minute. It turned a couple times. It took off pretty fast. Going up. They said, now. And I set the hook on that thing. And I mean, I pulled back on that. That big fish come up, buddy. That's the way sin is. When it sets a hook, you're caught.
Yeah.
That fish was free. That fish thought, I can have it. Only problem, that fish, I had a line attached to what it wanted. When I was sure that it had it real good, I set the hook. Them coon hunting nights, we went out there with Daddy. When them dogs was on the hot trail, he said, won't be long. Won't be long. They'll be treed. Pretty soon, he said, he's treed. We'd go to that tree. And there that coon would be up that tree. We'd shine that light up there. I wonder how many have been treed by sin. I wonder how many the devil come by and shine a light up there and say, got you, buddy.
Amen.
You're mine now. You know, there's people in prison tonight cause of sin. I told you I went to the camp meeting this week. Brother Braille, him and his wife, trying to help little boys. Caitlin, how old are you, honey? Little boy, 10 years old. He's going to serve life in prison. They're trying to help him. 10 years old, little boy. He's crying. I told him, I said, Jesus loves you, buddy. He's got something better in mind than living a life of sin. But how quickly sin gets in a young child's life, how quickly it starts moving, the motions of sin. And the next thing you know, buddy, they've got the look. Next thing you know, they've got the talk. And the next thing you know, you can't tell them from nobody else. I mean, it's done corrupted them. And God said about Israel, they've corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way. That's what we've done, Brother Vernon. We've turned aside quickly. I believe there's a good way. I believe there's a straight way. I believe we need to get on that straight and narrow way. And I believe we need to stay on it. I believe we need to make straight steps for our feet. I tell you what, I believe we need to walk in the light as He's in the light. I believe we need to walk holy. I believe we need to, I'm telling you, buddy, walk before the Lord in the beauty of holiness and set the standard as high as it can be set.
Amen.
Not let sin creep in. Sin's kind of like rust on a car. It'll show up just a little bit. The next thing you know, you got to do like Brother Mel was telling me the other day. He said he had to cut this big place out and put another piece in there. Mm-hmm. I see these people at the hospital and they got these big long scars. I said, what in the heck happened to you? Oh, I was drunk one night and I missed this curve and there was this tree out there. When I hit that tree, it just busted my arm all to pieces. I had to take it all out and put steel bars in there and stuff like that. I see people and they got metal plates in their head. Let me tell this one story. It's really sad. I worked with a young man. His name was B.C. Poland. He was 30 years old. He married a young girl I went to school with called Mary Ryherd. And boy, I'm telling you, B.C. Poland, Mary Ryherd, they had it all. I mean, they both had good jobs. B.C. was a pressman, made big money. Everybody thought, boy, they really got it. I mean, they was in high cotton. One weekend, they went to Delhalla Lake. B.C. and his wife, they all down there drinking with a bunch of others. Out on a houseboat, they had it all paid for. B.C. bought him a big brand new bass boat. Man, they'd all been drinking. He got in that bass boat and took off. They went out there fishing. He got ready to come back, tried to start it. That boat wouldn't start. He kept trying to start it till he run the battery down. They got to missing B.C. And they thought, well, we'll go find him. You don't want a bunch of drunks coming looking for you. Here come a bunch of drunks looking for B.C. B.C.'s out there in this boat. The battery's so bad he can't even make the lights work. And here they come, a bunch of drunks coming down through there in this big runabout. And they run plumb over him in that bass boat. Killed one of them. But B.C., the propeller of that boat went right up him. The next time I saw B.C., he was in a nursing home. He lost one eye. His head was about that big around. Me and my pastor went by there to see him in that nursing home, 30-year-old man. He's sitting in that nursing home in a wheelchair, looking out the window. And that one eye he had left was just dripping tears. It never did ever stop the whole time we was there. He couldn't talk. And I said, B.C., we just come by here to tell you we love you, buddy. We're praying for you. Not a word, just looking out that window. But you could tell as he looked out that window, he regretted that night. His wife, she got to sleeping with everybody at work, came a whore. Sorry about the terminology, I can't think of a better word to describe her. She wasted all the money they'd worked for. Ended up being pretty much living on the street. B.C. spent the rest of his life, which wasn't very much longer. They were trying to drain the swelling of his head off. Had a tube running out. He didn't live much longer. It didn't go well with her. All because of one night of pleasure. One night. Everything changed. I saw that 30-year-old man, Brother Alvis. And the only thing, difference between me and him, was he made a bad choice. I made a better choice. I made a choice to go to the house of God. I made a choice to live for Jesus. And I'll tell you, buddy, I see that time and time again. Young couple got saved, joined the church, about like these young people here, want to live for God. Joined the church, a model couple, never missed service, sit on the front row, wasn't too long, moved back to second row, third row, finally all the way back to the back row. Missed the Sunday night. No big deal. Strike one. Next thing you know, missed the Wednesday night. No big deal. Strike two. Next thing you know, missed Sunday morning. Strike three. And they're out. Pastor tried to get them to come back. We ain't got time. I'll tell you one thing they had time for. Daily Times. Husband finds wife in the back seat of a car with another man. Shoots both of them. Finds out it's this couple. Goes to the prison to visit this man. And when he got to the prison and found this man, he said, "Preacher, somehow or another warn him." He said it started on that first Sunday night that we missed. That's the way sin starts. It starts with one miss. Then two. Then three. Then the unthinkable. And then the aftermath. Then the payment. And the payments are more than you can pay. They're greater. Cain said, "My sin, my punishment's greater than I can bear." Yeah. Before you pay the price of sin, won't you consider the cost? Amen. Before you go down the path of sin, won't you look around and see others been marked by sin? Before you let sin put a mark on you, won't you think about sin and the consequences of sin? Paul said sin, that it might appear sin. In 2013, sin is still sin.
Amen. Right.
It's no laughing matter. It's deadly in any capacity. The smallest amount of sin is deadly. God drug Cain out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as He drug him out, Lot. As God drug Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot said, "Here's a little city. Can I have a little city?" We want just a little sin. Come out of a big sin, go into a little sin, and somehow or another think we can come out unscathed. His wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt, went no further. Back there eating, back there today, they trying to shake some salt out, and he wouldn't shake out, and they wondered if it was Lot's wife. I'll tell you right now, buddy, she turned into a pillar of salt, according to the Word of God. But today, in this hour, we're losing sight of sin. And the reason we are, it's because we've got an absence of what tells us what sin is. Paul said, "I had not known sin but by the law. For the law said, thou shalt not covet." That's how the acknowledgement of sin is. What is sin, brother? It's that thing you don't want to get caught doing. What is sin, brother Eddie? To him knoweth do good, do it not. To him it's sin. What is sin, brother Eddie? What's not of faith is of sin. Oh yeah, sin shows up in all kinds of different ways. This Bible right here will put a finger on it. Tell you what, one thing happened to me when I first got saved, Brother Anthony. I got saved April 27, 1988. And I made up my mind I was going to read this Bible all the way through before the end of that year. And I did do it. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. I didn't realize how bad a sinner I was. I didn't realize how wretched I was until I read this Bible. I spent more time down on my knees saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, you had put up with all that just to be able to forgive me and save me. I'm sorry, Lord." I tell you what, buddy, it was a journey. I didn't realize all was going to be revealed to me by this Word. But I'll tell you what, buddy, when I read this Bible, I realized how big a sinner I was. And Molly, I realized how great a Savior He was. I realized He stood between me and hell. And only because of Him, I didn't end up in that dreadful place of the damned, the doomed. And I'll tell you what, buddy, spend some time in this book. You won't have to have a problem with sin. But if you're absent from this book, sin's already got an advantage. Sin's already trying to appear in another form than what it is. Paul said sin, that it might appear sin. President's not immune to it. Vice President's not immune to it. The media's not immune to it. Bill Gates not immune to it. Warren Buffett's not immune to it. Donald Trump's not immune to it. And you're not neither. I don't care how big a preacher you are. I don't care how good a singer you are. I don't care how much money or who you know, whose name you bear. I'm telling you right now, sin's going to come. God said, "Cain, sin lieth at the door. Don't let it in." A serious message tonight. And I hope you're honest with God and yourself tonight in this matter of sin. Because one day, the Bible said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But I'll tell you one thing, He ain't got no problem judging the wicked. He'll judge, and Molly, He'll put it, the plummet down to the line, and however it falls, that's how you'll be judged. Amen. The only thing I know, the law set the penalty of sin is the blood of Jesus. And I'll tell you, apart from the blood of Jesus, sin will, it'll kill everyone. But praise God, there's a cure. The blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. There's only one hiding place when it comes to sin, and it's under the blood. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over, and I'll pass over a lamb, Christ Jesus. Shed His blood. A ransom for you and me, that we could escape the consequences and the payment of sin. Father, I thank You for the brief moment You gave me to speak about a subject, Lord, that's bigger than me. I do pray, dear Father, tonight, as inadequate as I am, that, Lord, someone tonight heard something. Lord, I pray that they know, not only, Lord, that they need to do something with, but I pray, Lord, the fear of God will be upon them to move them to do it quickly. Lord, we don't know, Lord, we sung that song a while ago. Maybe it's You, maybe it's me. Someone will be called out to face eternity. Lord, even today, there's been events today that shook us a little bit. Lord, we've had things happen today that's caused us to wonder. Lord, caused us, Lord, to be challenged in our heart. The day and hour we're living in. Help us, Lord, I pray. Bless us, Lord, I pray. We might be a blessing to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask everybody to stand tonight. Pretty serious message tonight. Listen, don't lightly esteem sin. If you're living a life of sin, won't you be honest tonight? Come up here, Brother Eddie, pray with me. I need prayer.
It's so sweet.
You've given place to sin. Come on up here tonight. There's help. There's healing tonight. I'm telling you, buddy, God has a rescue, a refuge tonight. He's got a restoration program. He can restore you to your standing with God. I'm telling you tonight, if you don't come, you're telling God, I don't need no help. I'll be all right. I'll just do it my way. But think about that. Because sin, when it's finished, brings more death. Nobody's coming tonight. That kind of bothers me, makes me worry a little bit, because I know even I need to be on that altar. I heard a preacher this week said there's no preacher doesn't have a beset sin. The reason that preacher's got a beset sin is because God don't want him to get too big where he can't use him. That was Curtis Sheets. He said every preacher is in a battle of this sin. I've heard my pastor many times say, Lord, forgive me my besetting sin. I haven't done like him about asking for forgiveness, but I promise you this, I've got a besetting sin, and you do too. You're to come tonight, you're to come tonight and say, Lord, I want some help. I need some help. I'm calling upon You to help me in this matter of sin. Don't leave out here a fool tonight. Don't leave out here like, you know, like come in and leave out. Won't you do business with God tonight? I believe we have some revival and we just get right. I believe we have some Bible, we just be honest. I believe we have some revival, we just move towards God. Precious Jesus, oh how sweet, trust the Lord. I've mixed up here. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Well, maybe somebody's got a word in your heart tonight. It's kind of quiet here.
Well, hey, I want to thank the Lord for saving me and helping me with all the pain that went through the last week.
Bless you, Brother Billy.
Without Him, I don't know what to do.
Amen. I'm glad we don't have to worry about being without Him. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus, not only is there enough of Him to go around, but you can have as much of Him as you want. Bless you, Brother Billy. Somebody else got a word in your heart tonight?
Brother Eddie,
this is a perfect sample. These benches into here, how yeah. little can work.
It's true.
And work through one person. I'm not mad at nobody.
Yeah.
But we really need to pray at these. The devil will stay away from these youngsters.
Yeah. Yeah, how great a matter. A little leaven leaveneth. And it don't stay little. It gets big. It gets big quick. And the best weapon we've got against it is prayer. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We've got the advantage over the adversary. Sad thing is we don't use it. We've got it. We just need to get it out, sharpen it up a little bit, take that sword. I tell you what, and cut that old serpent's head off. Maybe somebody else got a word tonight.
You know, our leaders of the country, you know how bold we go with sinful words, yeah. you know, H word or whatever, right there in front of everybody
on right.
TV. Now, they didn't used to do that.
That's right.
But they really get far away from God. This here, verse 2 Chronicles
7:14.
14. You can quote that. You yeah. can quote the scripture. That's what I said here, I think.
You know, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and call upon me, I'll hear from heaven. And I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. The problem is we're not humbling ourselves. The problem is we're not calling upon Him. But I'll tell you right now, He's sitting there waiting for that call. America's got too big for God.
Yeah.
I don't think God can use America no more in the condition it's in. But I promise you this, buddy. He's going to bring it to nothing. And when He starts that work, He's not going to end it. They're going to start crying and praying, but it's going to be too late. And I'll tell you right now, when those twin tires fell down, that let me know God took the hedge away.
Yeah.
That hedge of protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
That they could not have dropped those two tires if that hedge had still been up. That showed me that God used insignificant men to bring something down. And I'll tell you what took a lot of people to put up. He would just, that was the handwriting on the wall to America, just like He did with Israel. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Those twin tires fell and that Pentagon was bombed and that last plane that told me God's hand of mercy, that last plane went down in Philadelphia. It didn't make its destination. If you know anything about God, He even has mercy and judgment. He has mercy and judgment. That told me God was in that. We're in trouble.
Yeah,
godly kind of trouble. The sad thing is, churches is disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the pulpit all the way back. We really just need, I remember the Great Welsh Revival, the preacher called upon a man to dismiss, and he got quiet. That man said, what's the use when your heart's not right with God, and came forward. And just one man being honest with God
yeah.
caused the Welsh Revival. Yeah. It broke out and nobody could hold it back. Just because one man was honest with God. He couldn't get a word out because he was too full of conviction. He said, what's the use when your heart's not right with God?
Amen.
We've lost that.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, we're able to make exceptions. Somehow or another, we're able to put it aside. Somehow or another, we're able to ignore all the symptoms of our disease. Anybody else got a word tonight?
I love the Lord.
Bless you, Mommy. Amen.
Look up because He's returning.
Amen.
And you will not hide your sin.
That's true.
I don't care who you are, you will not hide it.
Amen.
You will stand before your judge, whoever you are.
Amen. Like I said, there's only one hiding place. Get under the blood or else you'll have to answer for it. Amen.
And God is getting tired of people playing around. He's going to show you who's in control.
Good word, playing around.
Yeah.
Bible said for pretense. They make long prayer. They make broad their phylacteries. Profess they know Him, but in works they deny Him. We've been playing and pretending long enough. I'll tell you what, I'd like to see some people that have a purpose in their heart. They're going to live for God. I'll tell you what, the devil can't do nothing with a made-up mind. Just make up your mind. You're going to get revival. Make up your mind. I'll tell you what, you're going to be here. I believe you can get some revival if you'll come to that mind. Come to get some revival. There's plenty of God. Now, He's more than able. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we know our God's able, but whether He does or whether He don't, we ain't bound your image. And He showed him able. He showed himself able. Somebody said, what was he walking around the fire for? He's trying to keep him freezing to death. About to freeze to death down in that inferno.
Brother Eddie, this sin that you preached about tonight is the worst disease there is in the land.
Sure enough.
And there's no cure for it. other than through Him.
That's right.
But you know what we've done today? We've just put a little Band-Aid over
right.
it. And compromise with it. Not too bad. Preachers, a fellow said to me one time that he was one of the bosses that I worked for, owner of the company. And he knew I was a preacher, and he came to the job. He'd visit the jobs often. Came one time, and he called me off and said, I want to talk to you a little. So I knew that he'd come on the job, and he'd have his beer, and yeah. some of them would drink. Of course, they never invite me, which it wouldn't have done them any good, but he said, I want to talk to you. He said, I'm troubled. And I said, what's your problem? He said, I go to church every Sunday. And that kind of surprised me,
yeah.
the life he lived. But this is the society we live in today.
Right.
And he said, I do things during the week that I shouldn't do. And I said, well, if you know you shouldn't do them, you ought to quit.
Right.
I just told him plain. And he said, here's what bothers me. He said, I sometimes go to church on Sunday morning, and I go convicted. I want my preacher, his pastor he's talking about, to preach to me, to preach something to me, to mm-hmm. point out to me, to let me know that what I'm doing is wrong. And he said, I go, and he said, I sit there, and he said, after about 40 minutes, he tells us how good we are, what a wonderful church we are, what a great people he is pastor of, and he's so glad to be there. And he said, he makes me feel so good. He said, I get up and leave, and all of that I've been troubled with leaves me. This is what's wrong today.
True. Yeah.
I'll tell you, Brother, I think a lot of it starts right in the pulpit.
Absolutely.
And because so many won't preach against sin.
Right.
I enjoy hearing people preach against
Amen.
Sin.
Yeah.
This a disease that is killing more people than heart attacks, cancer. Cancer is a word that, I despise to hear it in
right.
my ear. It's I've heard it over the years. It got my mother. My dad ended up with lung cancer and died. My first wife had breast cancer and died. And now my daughter's got it. Other members of the family. I hate the word of cancer. It reminds me so of sin.
Right.
But when I hear sin, I despise it worse. I despise sin.
Amen.
We need to hate sin.
Right.
But we have accepted it. And I used to hear the McCainy saying, one of the sisters used to say, we're just getting used to
the dark.
To the
dark, yeah.
You know what's happened over the years in my lifetime? People have got used to it.
Yeah.
What was sin a few years ago that people would bring you before the church
right.
and slide you out?
Right.
Today we've accepted
what?
It. They're the church leaders. They're teaching the classes. They're leading the people, trying to lead them. But they're just like the Bible
what?
Says.
Blind
will all lead each other and fall in the ditch
what?
Together. Sin is what's wrong in our nation today. And until we cry out against it, as you preach
Amen.
Tonight,
what?
We're not going to get anywhere. It's time we quit playing and we preach. Some churches wouldn't care for you preaching if you just preach against sin and say, we oughtn't to sin. But when you name it,
right.
oh, you don't name sin, you'll get in trouble.
Right.
This
Thank
is what we need.
Amen.
Sin is sin. If cursing was sin years ago, it's still sin.
Amen.
If pornography was sin 40 years ago, it's sin today.
Amen.
And it hadn't changed its name, has it?
No, it hasn't.
If adultery was sin then, it's sin today.
Amen.
Fornication was sin, it's still sin.
Amen.
But let's call it what it is, Brother Eddie.
Amen.
That's what we need, isn't it?
Amen.
I like messages against sin.
Amen.
It tells me that I need to abstain from sin.
Amen.
There's nothing
Same
good
here,
about
buddy.
It. Nothing good about it.
Somebody said, I ain't hurt nobody but myself. Is that right? Start bearing them grandchildren. Tell me you ain't hurt nobody but yourself. I'm going to tell you right now, God knows how to get your attention.
That's right.
He got David's attention by that little baby him and Bathsheba had conceived in sin. He said, howbeit the child shall not live.
Yeah.
David wept and cried. He said, how did I know whether God might have mercy? But when the child died, one time nothing he could do. I'll tell you what he prayed the greatest prayer. Against thee and thee only. He acknowledged his sin. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be judged when thou judgest. He acknowledged his sin. He didn't do like Adam and Eve. He didn't blame someone else. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He acknowledged his sin. I didn't read this verse, but in Romans chapter 5, it says, what shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Two words, God forbid. How shall we live any longer therein? Go check the tombstones out and you tell me sin don't take its toll. I don't care if I got so much preachers, the name's Dr. Fahrenheit.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, sin. Look at Samson, sin took its toll. Look at David, sin took its toll.
Brother Eddie, one thing that bothers me, maybe you can help me. Years ago when I started preaching, you preach against sin like you preach tonight. And people would be convicted.
Yeah.
And
weeping out loud.
It's wrong. But nowadays, it don't seem to faze them.
Yeah.
And rather than accepting the message and repenting, they get mad.
Right.
That preacher, it's none of his business how
right.
I live. Who does he think he is to preach against the way I'm living? It's none of your business. I tell them it is our business.
That's right. Yeah, well,
it's our business to preach against sin.
Amen, brother. Yeah, we'll have to answer the gospel and not preach against
sin. It don't bother people anymore.
That's right.
I'm afraid that many people have gone so far. I preach and I believe that it's possible that a man can sin his days of grace
away. You believe it?
And he can believe a lie, and the Bible said God will let him be damned if he wants to.
Amen.
He'll let him believe that.
Amen.
And he'll become twice dead, plucked up by the roots, brother.
Amen.
There is a sin, the
unto
Bible
death.
Said, that he would not, that we'd even pray
there's
for.
There's a sin unto death. He said, I would not, brother, that you should pray for.
I'll tell you, our country and our people are in bad shape, brother.
We're in sin trouble.
We're in trouble deeply.
Yeah.
It bothers me more as I get older. It bothers me more. And they say you're too hard. You're just a fanatic about it. God said there'll be no sin in her end.
Right. You know, we got financial distress in America. They're worried about the national debt. There's a greater problem in America. He just mentioned it. We got a sin problem.
Yeah.
That's well said there, Brother Vernon. That's our biggest problem, not our national debt, but our sin problem. It's killing people. It's killing someone right now. Someone right now, the bitter pain of sin is delivering its fatal blow.
Yeah.
And they're taking the name of God in vain, blaming Him for their circumstances. God doesn't cause anyone to live a life of sin. He calls for them to come out of a life of sin.
Right.
God, we could be here to midnight. I finally feel the presence of God tonight. Anybody else got anything on your heart?
All I guess it is all good things come from above.
That's right. Every good gift coming down from above.
The whole bag comes from down under.
Amen. Don't sow the seeds of sin. You won't like it when they come up. Don't give place to sin. It'll be deadly consequences. Well, it's pretty silent, pretty quiet in here tonight. We're done tonight. I'll let you go. And if not...
Just remember Atkins family, Walter's son.
Atkins family?
Yeah.
All right, Brother Billy. Brother Anthony, dismiss us for the prayer, brother. Thank you for coming tonight. Please pray about the revival meeting. Pray about our young people. They've just got a lot of things. They haven't got it all figured out. It's not always easy. When I was young, I thought, you know, I knew everything. I didn't know nothing what I needed to know. Go ahead, Brother Anthony.
Listen.